नाम श्रेष्ठ मरमपि सच्चिपुत्रत्वस्वरूपम् रूपम तस्याग्रजा मधुपुरी मातृं गौस्तवातिं राधा कुंदम गिरिवर्मो राधिका मारवासम प्राप्तो जस्य प्रतीत कृपया श्री गुरुं तन्मतोऽस्मि। हरे कृष्ण। यस प्रभु, सम क्वेश्चन।
यस महाराज, क्वेश्चन फ्रॉम गुप्त गोवर्धन। Vrindavan is the most holy place on this planet. Devotees who go on pilgrimage there might not know how exalted and dangerous this place is. There are also newcomers joining pilgrimage who knows nothing about Krishna. Is it better for people not to rush but get deeper understanding in Krishna consciousness than visit Tham?
Is it what?
Then visit Tham. Is
no,
it
what is what?
Is it better for people not to rush?
Not to rush. Meaning what?
Rush into the joining the pilgrimage and visiting the holy Tham. And instead of that, maybe it is better for them to get deeper understanding in Krishna consciousness.
Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present. Heart within, God overhead. There's no guarantee that such an opportunity will come to someone in the future. When it comes to coming in connection with Krishna consciousness and substantial Krishna consciousness, we should not hesitate. There's no reason why we should delay that. If we say, this is the holiest place, then that means supreme auspiciousness. And as we've heard, famous saying, Subhasa Shigram Asubha Kalohanam, that which is auspicious should be done immediately, and that which is inauspicious you should delay. So we will never argue against when the opportunity is there for association with the highest dham, the highest devotee, the holy name. What did we just say in the prayer? Nama Shrestham, the best of the holy names. Satchiputra Atras Rupam, Rupam Tashyagraja, Madhupurim. Madhupuri means Mathura, Vrindavan. So, at what point can we say, oh, now someone has the proper appreciation? That is lifelong culture, lives-long culture, to properly understand what is the Dham. So, yes, it is true, the plus side of things is magnified so many times. The minus side is magnified so many times. But therefore we're advised to be under the shelter of the Vaishnava. Just as when Jagadananda Pandit, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, and with Mahaprabhu's approval, and gaining that approval, he also got this caution from Mahaprabhu that while there, always be under the shelter and guidance of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. And the people who are there, revere them, keep a respectful distance, don't mix with them, don't imitate them. They're in a special category. But always be under the care, shelter, care, guidance of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, who incidentally is the Sambandhagyan Acharya, the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. Sambandhagyan, that means understanding what is what, Prabhupada like to say. I like to say that in various ways. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who's in connection with an acharya knows what? He said, knows what is what. That means what is high, what is low, what is desirable, what is undesirable, what position something occupies, what place, where it will be. Gurudev used to think of many different things. Unique type of thoughts. And he said, if there was a meeting of mantras, the personifications of mantras, he said, where would the sannyas mantram sit? He didn't answer that. He just said, if there was a meeting of all these different mantras, where would the sannyas mantram sit? So, means understanding how to assess value, placement. That means to be under the guidance of the Vaishnava. In fact, Narottam Thakur, he says, Yathai Vaishnavagan Brindavan, Brindavan Erastan, that wherever the Vaishnavas are, the substantial Vaishnavas, that's where you find Vrindavan. So without them, even in Vrindavan, you will not have that appreciation. That's the implication. Whereas even technically, not literally, in Vrindavan, in the association of a substantial Vaishnava, you'll get Vrindavan. So once again, this points to the importance of Vaishnavas and being under their guidance, their influence, their shelter. Otherwise, we have no business. There's another place where Narottam Thakur is saying, without this shelter and some sanctioned purpose, then it's not advisable. But if someone has the good fortune to join a parikrama under the guidance of pure devotees, substantial Vaishnavas, and their vision of the Dham, then they should take advantage of, they shouldn't delay, they should, even factoring in that they are relatively unacquainted, this is the best way to become acquainted with the Dham. And it's understood, as Prabhupada would advise, a brief visit. We don't want to bring normal, mundane mentality into such a place. So how long we can maintain or sustain proper consciousness, saying it may be limited without having some substantial service, so then briefly visit, but always and only under the guidance and shelter of Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas make everything meaningful. In one place in Charitamritam it says, in Kali Yuga there are only two things, Vaishnavas and Vaishnava scripture. But it's another way of saying, actually, in Kali Yuga there's only one thing, Vaishnavas. So we say, well, what about the holy name? Well, where do you get the holy name? What about the deity? Where do you get deity? Whether it's the Krishna Nam, Krishnamurti, the prasadam, everything. Without the Vaishnavas, without the devotees, none of these things are meaningful. Not only are they not meaningful, may take us in the wrong direction. Or as Guru Maharaj sometimes say, in the plane of fictitious devotion, a hallucination, nothing substantial there. It's only through the agent, the sanctioning agent, that any of these things are meaningful or substantial to us. Otherwise, we have no capacity for appreciation. So the real question is, in the association of whom, under whose care, shelter, and guidance. When some Srila Saraswati Thakur was in Puri, and some, whether they're disciples or followers of Sri Gaudiya Math, they're visiting, but they, where he is, they go from there to have darshan of Jagannath. When they return, he's saying, where have you gone? They said, oh, we went to have darshan, you know, Jagannath. He said, oh, you saw Jagannath? Oh, yeah. You saw Jagannath? Yeah. You saw Jagannath? And then they realized, no, we did not see Jagannath. He said, yes, that was your eye exercise. Which shows one thing is he has a sense of humor. When we see Saraswati Thakur, he's the personification of gravitas, of gravity. But many times he says things that are siddhantically profound and humorous at the same time. So what does he mean by eye exercise? We can even see in the page of the Bhagavatam, it's saying, first your eyes should look at the lotus feet, and then they should move up gradually up the form of the Lord, and this way, and that way, and then go this way, and that way. And that means your eyeballs are going, they go down, and then your eyeballs go up, and then they go to the left, and then they go to the right. He's saying, your darshan, oh, eye exercise. You went for some eye exercise. It's funny, profound, and illuminating. The implication being, there's no seeing. The eye, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti. The eye of devotion, who possesses that? Who has that eye? When Mahaprabhu goes before Jagannath, he's seeing Shyama Sundar Krishna. And an incessant stream of tears are pouring from his eyes. Why? Because Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, enveloped by the heart of Srimati Radharani, he's seeing with her Radha vision, her way of seeing things. And separation having reached the zenith point in Kurukshetra, of which Dwaraka Krishna, Kurukshetra, that means Puri. This sort of intense response is coming from Mahaprabhu. And we may say in this regard also that that's true. The neophyte may impose mundane vision upon the divine, and that's offensive, can be injurious. Right? We're spiritual culture is about seeing the infinite in the finite. Material culture, atheistic culture, culture against the culture of theism, is to see the infinite as finite. Spiritual culture, just the opposite, to see, you know, what is it? Mai sarvam pasyati, yomam pasyati sarvatra, mai sarvam pasyati. Who sees me in everywhere and everything is never lost to me, I'm never lost to him. Seeing the infinite and the finite, as Prahlad saw the Sringadeva in the pillar. The central conception of the infinite traced to the finite. Atheistic culture, seeing the infinite as finite, seeing the divine as mundane. So that we have to be aware of that, cautious about that. But we find in the case of Mahaprabhu and his Puri pastimes particularly, just the opposite. He sees the sand dune as Govardhan. Right? He sees the ocean as Jamuna. Right? Everything, we're told, Brahm, well, the four defects of the condition, Brahm, Pramad, Vipralipsha, Karna, Patava. So Brahm means, you know, to err as human, to mistake one thing for another, that kind of thing. But it's what he has described, what the Mahaprabhu's vision of things, is. It's mentioned the word Brahm by Kaviraj Goswami, but it's saying, what is his Brahm? Mistaking the sand dune for Govardhan. So at every step, he's mistaking some finite thing to be the infinite, which is spiritual culture in earnest. But for him, to the nth degree, to an infinite degree, seeing the ocean as Jamuna, hearing the breeze and the bamboo, when the breeze goes through the bamboo, some of the bamboo, they have holes in them. Like we have so much bamboo here. Right? So in the breeze, it can go through the bamboo, and when it happens, starts sounding like a bamboo flute. Radharani, Mahaprabhu, they're taking the breeze to the bamboo flute to be the bamboo, to be the flute song of Krishna, running towards that. She smells the aroma. She's running, leaping into the breeze that's carrying the aroma of Krishna. Mahaprabhu, his heart is the Bhav Murti of Radharani, the heart of Srimati Radharani. Similar things are compelling him in his movements. Right? We say this is the Krishna consciousness movement. That is Krishna Chaitanya movement. Right? Krishna consciousness movement. He stays, his room is called Gangbir, which means like deep, the deep, the depth, the ultimate depth, the deep. Just think, his room, Guru Maharaj says, dive deep into reality. Mahaprabhu's room is called the deep. Right? The deep dive into, the deepest dive into reality, the deepest, the highest reality. And in that room, there are no windows. He's not there for the view, that type of seeing. For seeing, but not that type. It underscores what's going on, that it's all internal culture, really. And there's three doors, and they have dhirargala, means these, we've seen them, bolts. Deadbolt, they sometimes say, but it means a big bar by which you shut the door, keep the door closed. And there are devotees posted outside the door, And they hear Mahaprabhu inside. He's experiencing deep separation from Krishna. He's taking Krishna Nam loudly, but sometimes crying pathetically, piteously, in separation from Krishna. It's the heart of Srimati Radharani in separation, at separation zenith point. How pitiful and pathetic is that wailing and that lamentation. Krishna Vichcheda, Krishna Viraha, the separation from Krishna. Bahye Vishajalohoi Bhitare Anandamoy, Krishna Premer Adbhuta Charit. Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj would sometimes say, to underscore this point, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? We hear in this room, the deep, Gambhir, the association of Srup Damodar Ramananda Roy. Who are they? Lalita and Bishakha descended. If Krishna is going to take the position of Radharani, who can better serve him, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhav Mahaprabhu, who can better serve and assist him than Lalita and Vishakha? So they descend as whom? Ramananda and Swarup. Swarup Ramananda. And how are they serving? When these ecstatic emotions appear in the heart of Mahaprabhu, they're singing certain slokas from the Bhagavatam and also Chandidas, Vidyapati, Ramananda's own Jagannath Balava Natak, Krishna Karnamritam, Gita Govinda, like Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, he liked this verse from Krishna Karnamritam. It's describing Krishna. Kosturi tilakam lalata palak, like we go, lalate keshavam jayin, kosturi tilakam lalata palake. What is the last line? Gopala Chudamani. Gopastri Pariveshito Vijayate Gopala Chudamani. How beautiful Krishna. Gopala Chudamani. He's the, when he's surrounded by the Braja Gopis, it's describing the beauty of Krishna's face, his tilak, everything about him. But saying how beautiful he looks when surrounded by the Braja Gopis, Gopala Chudamani means the crown jewel. So they're like so many jewels, and he's the crown jewel. Nasagre Navamoktikam Venam Kare Kankanam, seeing how beautiful his fingers look when they're playing upon the flute. Sarvanga Harichandanam, and all the chandan on his divine form. Muktavali, and wearing a necklace of pearls. Just how beautiful Krishna looks. And then surrounded, and if as beautiful as he looks when he's surrounded by the Braja Gopis, he looks even more beautiful. So Mahaprabhu, he likes to hear Krishna Karnamritam. These slokas being selected by Ramananda, Swarup Damodar. But sometimes, in his divine madness, his form transforms, he's leaving that room. Even though the doors are closed and there's no windows, they hear nothing, then they become worried. Hearing him wailing, lamenting, crying for Krishna is painful enough. But if they hear nothing, at least then they know he's in the room. Or he'll sometimes rubbing his divine lotus face into the walls to the point where he's bleeding. They find him the next day. But if they hear nothing, they become worried. They're thinking, the last stage of separation is death. That's the 10th stage of separation is death. So they're thinking, did the separation become so intense that Mahaprabhu has left the world? They're very worried. They get Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar will open the doors, and then they say, no Mahaprabhu to be found. So they go searching for him with torches, torch-lit search party. Sometimes they find him in front of Jagannath Temple. One time at the southern gate, the eastern gate, the Shingadwar, southern side means the Shringadev's entrance side. And they find, because the intensity of separation, sometimes, like we see people in this world, they're experiencing something so intense, they hold themselves like that. They're trying to tolerate the intensity of what's being experienced. But in his case, what are we told? The arms enter the body, the legs enter the body, the head enters the body, like a tortoise. And when they go on search party, they go and they see what looks like a golden pumpkin, and there are these cows who are licking the golden pumpkin. It's Mahaprabhu in this extraordinary, divine, ecstatic, transformed state. And they're trying to pull the cows away. The cows don't want to go. Right? They're licking, sweetness personified. And other times, his body goes in the ecstasy takes the transformation in the other direction, elongation by this much. Each joint, if you can think about that, like here, 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 all separated by this much. He's already over 2 meters tall in his normal condition. Then all these joints separated by this much. So we're told one night when he goes to the different forests, the gardens there in Puri at the time, and each one represents some different Vaughan and Vrindavan. And on one particular night, what he relishes hearing also the slokas of the Rasa Leela, those 5 chapters, and thinking sometimes Mahaprabhu starts explaining them. But like the Gadadhar Pandit Bhagavatam, this is Radha Bhava Duti Subalita, enveloped by the heart and halo of Radharani, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. What sort of explanation will be given from her perspective? Because we're told he could not, as Krishna, although he is omniscient, he cannot estimate the position of Radharani and Brajagopis, what they're actually experiencing. You only understand that theoretically. To understand it, to feel it, he has to take their position. So he's hearing these Rasa Leela section of the Bhagavatam with his devotees, and sometimes he is explaining, sometimes Swarup Damodar, Ramananda, they're singing, explaining, and somehow hearing about their pastimes in the Jamuna, he vanishes and no one knows where he's gone to the ocean, taking it to be Jamuna. And then in that Jamuna, he's in a near-death-like trance, seeing what he will later describe as a dream-like condition. He's seeing the water sports pastimes, the Jalkeli of Radha, Krishna, and Brajagopis. And what that is doing, his body, we're told, is sometimes plunged deep in the water, sometimes surfacing, coming to the top, plunging again for hours. 6 hours, 7, 8 hours. To the point where after being in the water for so long, it's his golden form is turned white. Sometimes it turns white also. And then we're on one particular night, and we've seen also the fishermen in Puri, they fish at night, some of them. A fisherman, he is there on his boat, and he pulling his net, and he's, oh, I have caught some major fish here. He's pulling the net in, and when he pulls the net, there's this ecstatically transformed divine form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, separated all, it's very huge and long, and he finds when he touches the body, he becomes infused with Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem. And he thinks he's lost his mind, that he has become ghostly haunted. And he goes to the shore, there's Mahaprabhu on the shore in the net, and the man's running away madly, chanting Krishna Nam. And here comes Swip Damodar and his torchlit search party. And they find this man and he's saying, don't go there, don't go there. There's a very powerful ghost. I need to find an exorcist. And Swip Damodar is saying, actually, I am a big exorcist. You've come to the right place. Tell me about this ghost. And just by touching him, he said, I was, to save myself, I started chanting Nisringa mantra. But I found as I chanted the Nisringa mantra, the ghost, his power became greater and greater. Swip Damodar is very interested. And Swip Damodar, he chants some mantras, slaps the man 3 times, says, now you're okay. Take me to the ghost. And they take him there, and then the devotees are wailing, crying, oh, they see Mahaprabhu in the net, his body separated. And that way, his eyes turned upward like someone who's left the world. And their hearts are breaking, they surround him, they clean the sand from him, take the wet clothing, put some dry clothes, they start chanting. So earnestly, since Krishna Nam. And then Mahaprabhu, he has 3 states described, Antar Dasha, Ardha Dasha, Bahya Dasha. His internal state, half internal, half external, and external. And we should be cautious and understand, when it says external, it doesn't mean external consciousness as we may perceive that. This means some consciousness of the external world so that he can move, navigate, function in the external world. He's generally trying to check his divine sentiments, particularly during the day. But here, the devotees, Swip Damodar led party, they're taking Krishna Nam earnestly in a very deep, heartfelt way in there. And gradually Mahaprabhu's coming out of that state, and then this half internal, half external, he starts revealing what he saw and how beautiful that world was, that plane. And one thing we should note as well is that this is Mahaprabhu himself, right? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. But he's saying, he's describing it as a dream. It's Mahaprabhu himself, enveloped by the heart of Srimati Radharani, and describing in his deep trance, this is a dream. He used that word. But we have the charlatans, the imitationists of this world. They're in that plane. They're doing so many things. Prabhupada said once that the taxi cab driver who drove him to Vrindavan, Delhi, talking about his experiences. And he's mocking that as being ridiculous, absurd. Like that. It is to mock actually the genuine devotees and genuine substantial spiritual experience, and what to speak of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. But he describes this as a dream. And he's saying what he heard in that plane, the ornaments of Krishna, and just the sound of the ornaments, remember, in that plane, Vaikuntheya Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy. Everything from the ground up is Chinmoy. Chintamani Charana Bhushana Manganam Sringara Pushpa Taravas Taravat Suranam Vrindavane Vrajadanam Nanukamadenu Vrindani Chaiti Sukasinduraho Vibhuti Karnamritam, all those things. What opulence there is, the vibhuti of Goloka, he's saying the cows are Kamadenu, the trees are Kalpavriksha, and the gopis are wearing Chintamani gems for jewelry. So Mahaprabhu was saying, the sound of that jewelry and Krishna's jewelry was so beautiful. He said, and then you all made some noise and brought me here. And that was the end of my happy dream. And then we can say, but what is that? He said, the big noise. What is that noise? The Krishna Nam, the Shuddha Nam of Srup Damodar and all these great devotees. Saying, compared to that, you all made a big noise and brought me here. How sweet was the sound of their ornaments. And also, what a beautiful way to describe that plane. The preferred method of revelation is inference and subtlety. Then so many things can be understood from that. If that sound is so beautiful, how much beautiful are the other sounds of that plane. But Srila Guru Maharaj, having described that, then just like we're talking about the ecstatic transformation going one direction, then another direction, he took this in another direction, saying that this shows the power of Krishna Nam. It's so great, sometimes it's greater than Krishna himself, the name of Krishna, the power of Krishna Nam, that it was given preference over direct participation in Leela. So it's directly participating in Leela and the power of Krishna Nam to bring him that sort of pull. So these sort of things are described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. Only through the eyes of such devotees can we have a genuine or substantial glimpse of the spiritual reality, including the Dham. Always and only this way, by their grace. Gaudiya Darshan means how they see. We're only capable of eye exercise. The Premanjana Charita Bhaktivinoda, their eyes are anointed with Krishna Prem through Premic eyes. Only can reality be seen. Otherwise, we're left with the superficial aspects of experience. And to impose the lower upon the higher can be an offense, can be detrimental. So what do we say? Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Jena Tasmai Singh. Acquire a proper angle of vision. That we acquire when we're safely situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Any other question?
From Gupta Govardhan also. Could Maharaj please elaborate on self-deceiving? I thought we don't want to deceive ourselves, but only we are too ignorant and not faithful enough to choose the right path.
Srila Guru Maharaj said we should not be overly confident in our own assessment of things, our own judgment. And with good reason. That's why we're in the predicament we're in at present. Is being overly confident on our own assessment or judgment of things. Would you rather serve in heaven or reign in hell? We find reigning in hell appealing. Still, we're holding out hope against hope. It's just around the corner. You know, self-assertion, establishing ourselves as absolute centers, exploiting agents, and trying to extend the circumference of our exploiting capacity. Srila Saraswati Thakur says the mind is like an evil guardian. We think the mind is us, that what we think, that the mind and we're one, that's it. We are our minds. Our minds are, you know, perfectly represent us. He's saying, no, the mind is an evil guardian of jiva, of the soul, and plunders her wealth. As I've mentioned, the stereotype of the orphan children, we find it in literature, in movies, the orphan children are assigned an evil guardian who's smiling and appears to be affectionate and benevolent and have their interests, and the whole time is only trying to rob them of all of their wealth. That's how the mind should be seen. That's why one of the reasons Saraswati Thakur would say to begin the morning with the song Amar Jivana and say, you know, and just like Emana Durmati Sangsaravi, this mind, look at the mess you've got me in. And he's saying you should beat your mind into submission every morning. Udareid Atman Atmanam Atmanam Abhasadeid Atmayiva Hyatmano Bandhur Atmayiva Ripur Atmana. It can be Bandhu, friend, or Ripu, enemy. When it's not assisting us in Krishna culture, it's enemy. So this judgment that we make, is it pure? How do, when we decide what we decide, it's on the basis of what? To begin with, limited experience of the limited. And then what Srila Guru Maharaj calls acquired prejudice and acquired tendency. So in the midst of acquired prejudices and acquired tendencies, with limited experience of the limited, how valuable or beneficial will that choice be? So we're told, what is the basis of spiritual life? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprajnena sevaya. When Srila Gurudev came to the feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, what did Guru Maharaj say? Are you prepared to listen to me and not your own mind? It's like the old joke. Are you going to believe me or your own eyes? And we think, that's a tough one. That's the problem, is we think that's a tough one. If you're in connection with Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnav, then the default position should be to defer to Sadhu, the vision, what's revealed by Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnav. Otherwise, we're back to the four defects, Brahm, Pramad, Viparlipsha, Karna, Pattava. To error is human. We make mistakes. We misread. We misjudge. Like certain instruments, they need to be properly calibrated to give you a proper reading. So ego, ahankar, ruins the calibration. So when everything's being assessed through a filter of false ego, then what sort of result can we expect from that? If we haven't properly identified who we are, then how can we know what is our self-interest? This is the beginning of Sanatana Shiksha, Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. The first Sanatana Goswami says, Kayami kene amoy jari tapitroy iha nahi jani kemone hitohoy. He says, who am I and why am I suffering tapitroy, the threefold types of miseries? Adhyatmik, Adhidevik, Adhibhautik. And then he says, Iha nahi jani, if I don't know this, kamone hitohoi, then how can I know what's good for me? So that's a starting point. So then, what do we say in the song of Saraswati Thakur? They say, Vaishnava pratishta tate koru nishta. We concern ourselves with the opinions of Vaishnavas. There's a group of thinkers called pragmatists. They assert, they say, we should concern ourselves with the opinions of those who matter. This is an interesting statement, actually. Say, we should concern ourselves with the opinions of those who matter. And we'll say, yeah, we can agree with that. But then the all-important thing is, who matters? They will say, well, what do you think? The gods or something? We don't, you know, what is this, Greek mythology? We don't even know if there are any gods. Come on. So the way they used to go, well, you know, I mean, what would Zeus do? Would Zeus like it? We don't know. We don't know if there's any Zeus or not, so forget that. But what we do know, I know you, you know me. And we know other people. So whose opinion matters? The people we know, like each other. And we also know that some of our friends or unfriends or whatever, they may not be best at expressing themselves or representing themselves. So they make the case for literature, saying, in literature, in art, you know, high literature, there are these great writers like Arbeiters of those whose opinion matters, they express the opinions of many different types of people who may not be best at expressing it themselves. Right? What about the gardener here, the person cultivating the rice field, the rickshaw, the tuk-tuk man, this, that, the, you know. So these great writers, they represent a wide spectral range of, you know, human beings in their thought. One critic goes so far as to say, it's a hook to try and get you to read his book, but he says, Shakespeare invented the human. That'll get your attention. And then he explains, what he means to say is, these archetypes, you know, Shylock, Falstaff, Romeo, Juliet, all the, you know, Macbeth, Hamlet, all these character types we've come to know through him, it's broadened our palette of how we conceive of different people. And that's good, because you should concern yourself with those whose opinion matters. And this is how we can decide what's how to compromise and what's best for everybody. And what is divine, we don't know. Come on. We talk about it, we say, but we don't know for sure, but we do know each other for sure. So that your opinion matters, my opinion matters, then. So this is how democracy should work. But Guru Maharaj reminds us, the Latin expression, vox populi is not vox Dei. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. Or, as he puts it elsewhere, the sum total of the finite is never equal to the infinite. So is it possible, what if we say, Saraswati Thakura says, Vaishnava Pratishthati Kora. We believe we should concern ourselves with those whose opinion matters. But as Guru Maharaj said, it should be the normal thinking persons. If everyone else, however near and dear, is under the influence of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, and is you know, a hostage to karmic circumstance, and their vision of things is distorted or perverted by misconceived self-interest, then taking a poll of their opinions and basing actions, outcomes on the basis of people who are admittedly ignorant, ill-informed, and they have misconceived themselves, then, as Sanatana Goswami Prabhu says, Iha nahi jani kamone hito hoi. Then, if I don't know this, who I am, and what I am, then how can I know what's beneficial for me? So, what Guru Maharaj calls terms the normal thinking person. That means like Shastra Vidhim, whose thinking is regulated by Shastra. What is Shastra? Amnaya Prahatatvam, as we heard it. Revealed truth. Not what Guru Maharaj said, knowledge above mortality. What's descended into this world through divine agency. And someone says, well, I doubt that. Guru Maharaj said, the infinite is not infinite if it cannot make itself known to the finite. That is the fundamental, the fundamental thing to be understood to engage in theistic culture is accepting the prospect, the potential that the infinite can make itself known to the finite. That allows for revealed truth. And as Guru Maharaj put it in the beginning, what became the introduction to Sri Guru and His Grace, his original essay, where he speaks very rationally by saying, you know, to err is human. No, that's an axiomatic truth. No one's going to argue with that. Although I think, where does it come originally? From Milton, Paradise Lost. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Or, yeah, I believe it's him. But anyway, that might be my error in identifying where the quote comes from. But anyway, So he's saying, to err is human. And then he says, to err is inevitable for all, being not perfect. Like, at least in English, I don't know if in other languages, it's probably that the expression, you know, people, when they do something wrong and disappoint people in terms of their expectations, and they respond with, well, nobody's perfect. That's supposed to be like, yeah, right, okay. Or yeah. But sometimes people take that and they say, well, no one knows the answers to these questions. And what I say to that is, no one you know. Doesn't mean nobody knows. Maybe no one you know. Anyway, nobody's perfect. The groomer is saying, so to err is human, to err is inevitable for all, because he's saying, well, then I won't do anything. I'll try that as a strategy to avoid making mistakes. That in itself is a huge mistake. And so it's to err is inevitable for all, being imperfect. But then here comes the interesting part, and which is appealing. He says, but still, there is an element within us that seeks perfection. That we also cannot deny. So then this is a peculiar circumstance. Acknowledging where we commit mistakes, to err as human, we will commit these mistakes inevitably because we're imperfect, but we're all the while seeking perfection. Why? Why do we still seek what is perfect? Just like in relationships, as they go, it used to be, you know, this percentage of relationships end in dissolution or divorce. Then it got, you know, from 25%, 40 to 50, maybe it's crossed 50, right? So you could say, statistically speaking, this is not likely to work out. And people will say, but we're in love. This is real love. This is going to work. When you say, no, statistically speaking, it probably won't. What will they say? Well, we'll take our chances anyway. It's such a valuable thing. We'll take that risk. Because we're so hardwired to seek love. We want this perfect loving relationship that even if the statistical evidence argues against it, still we'll take the risk. So you know, we're hardwired to seek perfection, all the while acknowledging that we are imperfect. You see, and if it was something you could confer upon yourself, then you'd have it by now. If this was something, well, it's all within you, you know. If that were true, then you'd have it. But you don't have it. If you're honest, you don't have it. So then that would seem to indicate it's something other than yourself that can confer perfection. And who or what would that be? In other words, perfection itself. So you think this sort of a revelation to the imperfect comes from the perfect. And he qualifies this further by saying, actually, it's just a part of the perfect that appears to be imperfect for some time. As the Vedas say, asangohyayam purusha. The soul's never actually contaminated. That's why we call it maya, or illusion, or it's comparable to a dreamlike state. Nothing actually touches or pollutes the soul. So it's a part of the perfect, that mame vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. A part of the perfect appears to be imperfect. So it is a function of the perfect or the infinite to reveal itself to the finite. And the preferred agency, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. So those who are serious about spiritual culture, they concern themselves with whose opinion matters. But whose opinion matters is that opinion which is aligned with Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. We're told the famous example, if the Guru or Vaishnava says that a rope is a snake, we see a snake, that a snake is a rope, we see a rope. And we're told that Abhiram Thakur tested Srinivasacharya in this way. And of course, he's Srinivasacharya, he passed with flying colors. But that underscores how dependent we are upon the vision of the Vaishnava. How much faith there must be. Then everything is revealed. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tatagaro tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. And the kind of faith that you have in Krishna or divinity, when you can have that in Guru and Vaishnav, and it's real, then prakashante, then everything is revealed to that person. So the true test indicated from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, nirmat saranam satam, is not what... It's a given that you should acknowledge and recognize Krishna and his position. But it's saying, but the secret to Krishna conception and Krishna culture, nirmat sarja, nirmat saranam satam, is to not be envious of Krishna's devotee. And not just a negative, to be non-envious means an inversion to praise them in a heartfelt way, in a way that's real and substantial. Because who is the ultimate devotee is Srimati Radharani herself. And there is no greater source of Krishna than her. That means there's no greater source of reality, no greater source of ecstasy, no greater source of a higher existential plane than Srimati Radharani. And there's no greater acknowledgement of that than the fact that Krishna himself, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita Nomi Krishna Sarupam, that Krishna himself descends in this world enveloped by her heart, and he is preaching Gopi Bhav and Radha Bhav. Jadi Gorna Hoita Taviki Hoita Kamone Taridam Daritam Dehe Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake. Krishna is descended in this world to tell everyone how great Radharani is. And her consciousness, which is otherwise known as Krishna consciousness. She is Krishna consciousness personified. And when he takes her position, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam, then he becomes Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gaudiya Darshan means his way of seeing things, her way of seeing things, Sri Rupa's way of seeing things, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Das Raghunath. Hare Krishna.